If you have your Bibles, you want to turn to 1 Peter, the first chapter. And we'll begin reading with the third verse and read through 3 through 9. As you're looking for that, I want to remind you that tonight, I think Pastor Travis mentioned it, we're going to have a family discussion. And our building and renovation chairman will lead us through that discussion. And we'll also have a presentation about student ministry here at Cherry Point Baptist Church as well. That's 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9. I read this quote online. It says, we can live 40 days without food, 8 days without water, 4 minutes without air, and only a few seconds without hope. The title of my sermon today is Keeping Hope Alive. We find that hope is absolutely essential for living. And I wonder this morning as we gathered, have you ever felt that your hope was in vain? Have you ever felt like you were a hopeless case? Have you ever felt that you had lost hope in what you do in life? Or have you ever felt that your hope has been lost? Maybe not for you, but I will tell you there are many who have. And so we have to ask ourselves, where do we find this hope that is alive? Where do we find this eternal kind of hope? If you're able, please stand for the reading of God's Word. I'm going to be reading from the King James Version this morning first, so your version may be just a little bit different, but I love the way it tells this story. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, yet rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of your glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. May God and his blessing to the reading of his word, and you may be seated. Since we heard that from the King James, I wanted to take opportunity to read it again to you from a more modern version. And I want you to listen at the difference, but you will see a great similarity. It starts off in verse 3. What a God we have, and how fortunate we are to have him, this Father of our Master Jesus. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, we've been given a brand new life and have everything to live for, including a future in heaven. And the future starts now. God is keeping careful watch over us and the future. And the day is coming when you'll have it all. Life healed and whole. I know how great this makes you feel, even though you have put up with every kind of aggravation in the meantime. Pure gold put in the fire comes out proved pure. Genuine faith put through the suffering comes out proven genuine. When Jesus wraps it all up, it's your faith. It's your faith, not gold, that God will have on display as evidence of his victory. You never saw him, yet you love him. You still don't see him, yet you trust him with laughter and singing. Because you kept on believing, you'll get what you're looking for, forward to, total salvation. It's very clear to me, whether you read from the King James Version or whether you read from a modern version, that the idea of this passage is that we have a living hope. Whether we read it from King James or some other, we need to focus as Christians on our hope that we have in Christ Jesus. This passage was probably written about 30 years after Christ's resurrection to many believers in what we know today as Turkey. However, its application is for all believers. Let me offer you three things about hope today. The first one that I want to mention is God has given us a living hope. According to the scriptures, God has given us new birth through Jesus Christ, which gives us a living hope. We find that this birth also allows us to have a living hope, to rise up within us that we may be able to overcome the trials of this time, the frustrations, the aggravations of this life. We find also that hope, they tell us, that will never spoil, it will never fade, it will never perish. This kind of hope wells up within us like a volcano, kind of like going to erupt. It is that kind of living hope that comes within us that we know because we have the resurrected Christ in us. We stand on this side of the cross. We stand on this side of the resurrection. And because of that, and our faith and trust in Christ Jesus, there should be a living hope rising up in us like a volcano about to erupt. It is that kind of source of redemption, that promise and that hope that we have in this particular passage of Scripture where he tells us there is a living hope. A hope that should be genuine, that it should not perish. It is even more refined than pure gold. And God says, when you come to him, he's not going to look at the gold. He's going to look at your faith. See if your faith is genuine. This kind of living hope that we have in Christ Jesus, when we stop and think about who he really is and what he's really done for us, it can only make us joyful. It can only make us feel like we want to stand up and shout, "Thank you, Lord." In fact, I was sort of hoping that someone, when I read that great passage from 1 Peter, would say amen. Or they would jump up and say, "You're right, preacher." Because if you can think about this passage of Scripture and what it means to us as Christians, we should all be shouting for joy. And shouting and letting our faith in him erupt like a geyser or like a volcano that's going off. Because we have that hope that he says will not perish, nor will it spoil, nor will it fade. So we find that God has given us a living hope. The second thing I want to tell you is that hope is more than just wishful thinking. I've preached a sermon about hope many times, and I always want to reiterate the truth that what this hope is for us is not like you buy a lottery ticket and hope you win the big one. It's not like you buy a car and hope it gets you down the road. It's not the kind of hope that you think when you sit down in a chair that's going to hold you up. This is the kind of hope that is eternal. It is the kind of hope that never perishes. It never fades. It never spoils. It is a living hope erupting and rising in us like the power of God unleashed on this country and this nation, our neighbors, and everyone around us. This is not wishful thinking. It is a sure thing. For the Bible says it is a fact. God loves you. The Bible says that hope is based in a firm conviction that God cares for you. And this kind of hope is based in final assurance. God wants to be with you. It is not some kind of a lottery that God goes down the line and says, "I love you." And not you. He loves us all and created us for his glory. And God wants that kind of living hope to rise up in us. As if something is going to go off. There's going to be an explosion. There's going to be an eruption of some kind. So we find that this living hope is for us. That this loving hope is not just wishful thinking. And the third thing I'd like to share with you is that hope can be and must be a vital part of your life. We cannot make it through life without hope. It is that living hope that gives us the ability to see light in the darkness. I want to give you an illustration of this. There was a little boy who was in the hospital, and his teacher asked a friend to go down and tutor him at the hospital. So she went down to the hospital. He needed help with his nouns and adverbs. So she went down to the hospital, but the teacher didn't tell her that he was in the verb unit. And she was not quite prepared for what she saw. This little boy burned in the verb unit. She went in, sucked it up, and went over and started going over his nouns and adverbs with him. So after the tutoring session, she left. And several days later, she came back from the hospital for another tutoring. and his name is Jesus, hoping that that living hope within you will rise up like a volcano erupting and give you that power and that peace that you need in the times of troubles in this life. I will tell you that there was a man who, by the name of Reverend Gilbert Benkin, and he said, other men see only a hopeless end, but the Christian rejoices in an endless hope. And there was another famous writer and preacher that I like to read by the name of John Maxwell. You may know of him. He says that hope shines brightest when the hour is darkest. Hope motivates when discouragement comes. Hope energizes when the body is tired. Hope sweetens while bitterness bites. Hope sings when all the melodies are gone. Hope believes when evidence is eliminated. Hope listens for answers when no one is talking. Hope climbs over obstacles when no one is helping. Hope endures hardship when no one is caring. Hope smiles confidently when no one is laughing. Hope reaches for answers when no one is asking. Hope presses toward victory when no one is encouraging. Hope dares to give when no one is sharing. Hope brings the victory when no one is winning. You see, this kind of living hope is one that reaches down deep. It's the one that touches our heart to God's heart. It is that knowledge that we know that we know that we know that this Jesus Christ is alive and that he is interceding for us at the right hand of the Father. It is that kind of living hope that we can never be hopeless. We're not buying a chance on something. We have a sure thing in Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us that in all the trials and all the aggravations and all the temptations that come to us in this life, he is purifying us like pure gold that we might have faith that is genuine to enter the gates of heaven. Oh, I'm telling you today, I really mean this. I hope that you're experiencing a living hope in your life. I hope that you have the promise of everlasting life. I hope that you feel secure in knowing that Jesus is with you and nothing shall come against you, that you and he cannot conquer. I pray this morning, if you don't know him as your personal Savior, that you would say, I want that living hope. Because you see, as a young Navy sailor, when I saw Doris go through her stuff and watch her, it was a witness to me of her living hope. How could someone do this? You can't, because it's supernatural. It is God lifting us on his wings and giving us flight and helping us when there is no ability in us except just to believe and to trust that the living hope that is our promise, that is our guarantee, will lift us to a joy unspeakable even in the darkest hours. I don't know about you this morning, but maybe someone's here today that needs a fresh supply of hope. Well, I want to tell you that God has more than you need. And it's our job to keep hope alive so that we can, in his power, endure to the end. We must also encourage one another to keep hope alive so that others will see the light of Christ burning brightly in our lives, even when it's dark. You see, hope really is alive. He is alive. He really is alive. And we must keep the hope that we have in Christ alive. I want to tell you a story about a group of folks who went down and got this lady out of the slums in London. She'd never been many places. They thought they would do something great for her. They put her in the car and took her down to the beautiful ocean. It was a beautiful day, magnificent. The water was just crystal clear. Everything was working. It was just beautiful. She got her down to the shore side. She looked out over that vast ocean, and she just started crying. And the rest took to her as if something was wrong. She said, are you okay? What's wrong? She said, I've never seen anything where there was enough for everyone. That's how I believe in hope is. Your neighbor, your friend, your
marriage of your son, your daughter, there is enough of this living hope for every single one of us in every single circumstance of life. But must it well up in us like a volcano wanting to erupt so that we might give praise and thanks to Almighty, the Christ who is risen again. And this morning, I want to leave you with this final passage. It says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in Scripture. Because of this, will you join me in doing our very best to keep hope alive, to keep our light so shine before people they would know that Jesus has been raised from the dead, and that He is alive and wants them to know Him? I will tell you, you may be here this morning and you've never experienced Christ. You've never personally trusted Him as your Lord and Savior. You've never felt that living hope bubbling up in you. Your life may be a mess. It may be trouble. You may need help. There may be things that are worrying you. But this living hope will calm the storms in your life. If you come to Jesus and ask Him to come into your mind and heart, the troubles won't go away necessarily. But the living hope will live in your mind. And you'll see the light. You'll see the light in the darkness. You may be here this morning and you say, "I know the living hope. Pastor Steve, it's not enough to be in my life. I let the things of this world get me down. I'm troubled. I'm tried. But I need to renew that living hope. I want that hope to rise up in me. It will help me know beyond the shadow of doubt that God and His promises, nothing is too difficult for me because I put my faith and trust in Him." This morning we're going to sing "Jesus Over the Atonement." It's 419.